right. Well, happy Valentine's week. I hope you guys have plans for your sweetie. And, you know, this morning I talked about reaffirming your commitment to your spouse. I talked about keeping and fueling the fire within your marriage ring. And then we talked about spending the right kind of time together. It's the time and the focus with each other. Tonight, I want to continue these thoughts through the book of Song of Solomon. So if you turn your Bibles there, Song of Solomon, we're going to look at two different chapters, chapter number 7, and then we're going to look at chapter number 2 as well. Not the whole thing, but I'm going to show and highlight some phrases here, some thoughts that I think would be a tremendous help and blessing to every potential marriage and marriage that is represented in this room. So moving ahead, I want you to notice in your notes, I want you to notice that in order for you to keep this fire burning hot within your marriage, there has to be creative romantic adventure. There has to be surprise and intrigue. Okay? Creative romantic adventure, surprise and intrigue. This is so important to every single relationship. Okay? I want you to notice with me in Song of Solomon chapter number 7. Song of Solomon chapter number 7. Look in verse number 10. Now, this is the wife that is speaking. Solomon's wife. Notice what she says in verse number 10 of Song of Solomon chapter 7. She says, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards and have coffee, says it right there, right in between. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grapes appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. This wife is speaking, and it is clear that she has invested significant spiritual, emotional, and physical energy into planning a romantic adventure for her husband. You might say that this was a horticultural experience her husband will never forget. I got a few laughs right over there. Some of you are like, oh, the Dutch are like, he did not just say that. So I want you to see from this passage, what does this mean? What can I glean? What can I learn from something that God inspired in the Word of God? Well, I want you to notice that the wife understood his unique desires and rejoiced in them. She understood his unique desires. They might not be her unique desires, but his unique desires, and she rejoiced in those desires. She said, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. She rejoiced that her husband desired her physically. She accepted them and reverenced those desires and gladly planned a retreat to actually meet those desires. We live in a day when many wives resent those desires that are natural to their husband. Maybe because you don't just understand where the husband's coming from because you weren't designed and created like your husband. You're different. Maybe you don't understand it, but every husband in here understands what I'm saying right now. It's a unique natural desire, and she understood that desire and met that desire adventurously. She got creative, and she was thankful that she could be part of meeting those desires. And so she understood the unique physical desire and rejoiced in them. Number two, she was uninhibited in meeting his needs adventurously. She was uninhibited and meeting his needs adventurously. In other words, she wasn't afraid of being physically intimate in broad daylight. On a picnic. She wasn't ashamed of her appearance. She understood that he loved her. For who she was. Where she was. What she looked like. That didn't hinder her from giving herself to her husband because she didn't like maybe what she saw. She rejoiced in the fact that he liked what he saw, not what she saw. You guys with me? Every wife in this room, you need to understand something about your husband. Your husband likes you for who you are. You might not like you and how you look at times, but he likes you and how you look. Can all the men say amen right there? And just because you may not like what you see, okay, shouldn't cause you to not give yourself to your husband. She said, hey, this is what he likes, and I'm just thankful his desires towards me, and I'll gladly make an adventure out of it. A horticultural experience he'll never forget on a picnic in broad daylight. You know, I'm just going to rejoice in the fact that he likes me. And that's what she did. She pre-planned a romantic getaway and seduced him. You see here, she was planting. There was some forethought into this. She said, we're going to go into the villages, and we're going to go see the grapes, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And at the end of the day, I mean, she put some forethought and planning into this. And this adventure involved lodging overnight, sightseeing during the morning, and adventurous physical love in the afternoon. Notice what it says. I'll read it again. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. And she rejoiced in that. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the fields. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early in the vineyards. And let's see the vines flourish and whether the tender grapes appear and the pomegranates bud forth. I mean, this adventure involved a lot of things. This shows the healthy pattern of retreating together and leaving behind the cares of this life. It was a retreat. It was a getaway. She decided, hey, we're gonna spend a couple days apart from the cares of this life, and we're going to lodge in some villages, and in the morning, this is our plan. We're going to get up, and we're going to walk through the fields. And you know what that did? Walking through the fields, that helped meet her desires. Her desire was to have that connection, that communication, that met her desires. And at the end of the day, she was going to meet his desires. But she put some planning into meeting that natural desire. This romantic getaway included relational romance as well as physical. They viewed flowers and fruits together on long walks. And this is the husband fueling her fire. Remember, we're keeping with the word picture of fueling the fires of marriage within the fire ring. Walking with his wife, spending time with his wife in the vineyard was his way of fueling her fire. And the physical romance was the wife fueling his fire. And so you see right here, they're both fueling each other's fire. They're walking. Now, by the way, one takes a lot longer than the other. It's an adventurous getaway. He's meeting her needs. She's meeting his needs. They're fueling each other's fire. And I'm telling you, their marriage is red hot. Red hot. I don't know one marriage in this room who wouldn't desire something like that. And his needs and her needs are completely different. They're so different, aren't they? So let's look at the husband. Go to chapter number 2 and verse number 10. So that's her meeting his needs. But if you go to chapter 2 of Song of Solomon, I want you to see what Solomon has to say about the Shulamite woman. In chapter 2 and verse 10, he says this. He says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, for lo, the winter is past, and rain is over and gone. In other words, the snow is gone, and the rain is over. The flowers appear on the earth. The tulip time festival has come, and the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Now, listen, I had to look that up. I didn't know turtles make noise, but they do. They make this cooing sound in the water, so apparently that was something romantic to hear the turtles. Verse 13, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. How many of you guys are looking forward to winter, by the way? You're just reading this, you're like, come on! I meant spring. How many of you guys are looking forward to spring? You're tired of winter, you're looking forward to spring. How many of you guys are there right now? You're like, come on, bring on the flowers. It says in verse 13, the fig tree putteth away, or put forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, come away, my dove. Thou art the clefts of the rock in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now notice the following principles from this passage and how he met her needs and fueled her fire. He understood that his wife needed to be pursued. He spoke to her. He cleared his schedule and took her away. Didn't he say that? Arise, my love, my fair one, let's come away. Isn't that what it said in verse 10? Arise, let's go. We're going away. We're going to spend some time together. He understood that his wife needed to feel and to be pursued. It makes her feel wanted and needed, knowing that her husband still wants to pursue her. Do you know why women like to be pursued even after they get married? Because it makes them feel like they're worth pursuing still. Do you know what it was like trying to get Shonda? It was hard. She was hard to get. And by the way, those are the kinds of girls I liked. Is the ones who were like, sure, you can have me. I was like, man, I don't want you. You're boring. And Shonda, she was kind of hard to get. She liked me, but she didn't want, she wasn't going to be like, overly zealous about it. And she played hard to get, and I really liked that. And I pursued her constantly, persistently. And secretly, she really liked that I did that. And then when I got her, you know what? She still plays hard to get, even though we're married. And you know what? She's still worth pursuing for me. She's still worth catching and grabbing onto and chasing and pursuing. Your wife is worth pursuing. Hey, let's get up. Let's go. Let's go away for a little while. I want to spend some time. I'm going to clear my schedule. You're worth pursuing daily. Makes her feel worthy. Number two, he gave her priority in a schedule. He gave her priority in a schedule. He planned what that time would look like. He even says, hey, the winter's gone. It's past. The rain is gone. The flowers are appeared. We're going to go away. And we're going to have a great time. So he planned what that time would look like. He understood and accepted and validated her. And he validated her likes, her interests, and her unique emotional makeup. He validated those things. He invited her, in other words, he invited her to go see flowers, to hear birds, to smell grapes. Now, You may be like this, guys, but my question is, what kind of guy likes doing those things? If I could plan my own day, it wouldn't be to go out and smell flowers and to see grapes. My kind of day would say, hey, let's go to the big house and watch a football game. But this is something she liked. This is something she enjoyed. She enjoyed seeing flowers. She enjoyed hearing the turtles. She enjoyed seeing the grapes and that sort of thing. So what man likes those things? And what man naturally thinks of those things? He doesn't. But he thought about her and her likes and her needs, and so he went out and planned this retreat according to her likings and according to her needs. What a romantic guy. He's fueling her fire. That's what this man is doing for her. He was selfless in his approach to loving her. It was about what she enjoyed. He planned a day that he knew she would enjoy. I've planned a lot of days with my wife that she didn't enjoy, but I enjoyed. It's like my wife, I'll take her to a baseball game, and she doesn't even know when it starts. And about the fifth inning, she's like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, this is happening. She's like, and she's bored out of her mind. I took her to the big house one time. And went to go see Michigan play a game. And we were like on the fourth row, man, right on the. And I was just like, I was so into it. And she's over there just watching the cheerleaders and everybody else. She didn't even care about the game. And about the third quarter, she's like, so is it time to go now, you know? If I woke up in the morning and said, hey, sweetie, you want to go buy a pair of shoes somewhere? She's like, really? Now, listen, I don't understand that. I don't wake up like, I want to buy a new pair of shoes. You know, I don't even think about it until mine are worn out. I got a hole in my, I better buy a new pair of shoes. But man, she enjoys that. She enjoys window shopping. She enjoys just walking through the mall, you know, and different things. And you know, you have to understand how your wife and what your wife enjoys and what she likes. You notice that Solomon schedules an entire day according and around her likings. Okay? He was selfish in his approach in loving her. He ravished her heart with accepting, nurturing words of love. Throughout the book of Song of Solomon, he talks of her uniquely special features. And they're kind of weird. I don't know if you guys ever read the song. Some of you guys are like, what is he going to say? Look at chapter 4. Look at chapter 4. I mean, this is so weird. Look at verse 1. This is what he says to her. Thou art fair. Now, when I talk to my wife, I say, thou art hot. That's my vernacular. He says she's fair. I say my wife's hot. He says, my love, behold, thou art fair. I mean, he says it twice. He says, honey, you're beautiful. Listen, thou art beautiful. That's what he says to her. Man, every woman likes to hear that. Let me ask you, by the way, when's the last time you told your wife she was beautiful? Honey, you look your wife and I say, honey, I think you are beautiful. She goes, no, stop it. No, stop. Stop it. My wife will do that. I'll say, honey, you're so beautiful. She says, whatever. No, I'm not. And on the inside, I know she's like, blah, blah. Notice it says, thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. Now, if I said that to Shonda, she'd probably punch me. Your hair's like a flock of goats. Are you trying to say my head smells? It must have been something amazing back then, but thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. That means this, your teeth are white, is what he was trying to say. which come up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Look at verse 3. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. Now he's getting romantic here. And thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. See, notice here that he ravished her heart with accepting and nurturing words of love. He liked every detail of her, everything from the temple to her feet. He loved every single part of his wife. And he expressed it verbally. He actually said that to her. I just love your hair. I just love your lips. I love everything. And if you keep reading, I'm not going to keep reading. You can read it yourself. He goes into more detail. And some of you guys already read that. You're like, whoa. He ravished her with accepting and nurturing words. When's the last time you've done that to your wife? I just want you to know, compliment her. He looks into her eyes. If you notice in Song of Solomon chapter number 2 and verse number 14, notice towards the end of that verse, he says, let me see thy countenance. Do you see that? He says, let me see thy countenance. He wanted to see more than just her body. He wanted to gaze into her face. To Solomon, at this point, she was more than just a body to be had. It was a face to behold. He wanted to gaze into her eyes. He loved her for her, not what she could give him. I just want to look into your eyes. I just want to see you. Man, this is romantic, is it not? He listened and enjoyed the sound of her voice. Notice in verse number 14, it says, for sweet is thy voice. Sweet is thy voice. I love hearing your voice. I don't know how many men I know that think their wife's voice is a nagging voice. He says, your voice is sweet. I love hearing your voice. I love seeing your face. He listened and enjoyed the sound of her voice. Here you find two people who understood each other's unique desires. You know what they did? They fulfilled them. They fulfilled them. They fulfilled each other's unique desires selflessly. And it fueled each other's fire, and their marriage was red hot. The last thing I want to talk about tonight is this. You have to also adjust your expectations if you want to continue fueling the fire within your marriage. You have to adjust your expectations. Okay, so we're going to switch gears here a little bit, okay? All the gushy stuff is over, so let's get into this. With all this talk of fire and burning romance, the reality is that in a marriage it sometimes rains. And wood does get wet, and rain hits every marriage. Okay? Now, how many of you guys know what I'm talking about? If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? Sometimes the fire isn't burning as hot as we'd like it to burn. And sometimes it rains, and that wood gets a little bit wet. And so what do we do? So wives, listen, there's going to be times when you're not getting the emotional and relational nurturing that you crave from your husband. And husbands, there will be times when you're not getting the physical, romantic love and reverence that you crave from your wife. And remember, you have to remember this. Those times are not permanent. Let's say it together. Those times are not permanent. You guys with me? Sometimes we'll convince ourselves that this is how it's always going to be. You know, she's not going to meet my needs ever. So it's just always going to be like, might as well just give up. And the wife will look at him and say, well, he's just never going to, all he cares about is my body. He doesn't even want to, she told me I'm beautiful. He doesn't even want to spend time with me. Every time I talk, he just wants to, you know, get out of the conversation. It just seems like my needs aren't getting met. And if you don't respond biblically, you risk harming your relationship. So how are we supposed to respond to these damp times in our marriages? So what creates this time is what we need to ask ourselves. What creates these times? Well, physical health trials create these times many times. Physical health trials. So what is that? Sickness. People get sick. Pregnancy. That'll do it. Old age. Right? I mean, this is just real life stuff. Physical health trials can create these times. Life pressures and stress. Life pressure and stress. In other words, your job, in the ministry, there's pressure, there's stress, there's tragedy. Somebody dies within your family. That's gonna, you know, create a rift sometimes, a temporary separation of meeting those needs because somebody passes away in your family. You gotta go meet those needs. Okay? There's burdens. Okay? There's out of control schedule. Out of control schedule. Not carefully saying no to the right things. Okay? And listen, how many of you guys have had your schedules out of control? And those schedules actually hindered you meeting your spouse's needs? You guys with me? Okay? Another thing is internal relationship challenges. Internal relationship challenges in the marriage home. These are things that you're growing through as a couple. Okay? A lot for a lot of newly married couples within this room, you guys have to understand something, that there are times that you're growing through some things, okay? You're growing through some inconsistencies or irritations that you have, okay? And so there's internal relationship challenges. And the last one I want to mention is spiritual warfare and resistance in your home. You know, Satan and his forces. How many of you guys understand? Satan would love for your marriage to break apart. He does not, listen, ladies, he wants your husband's desires to not be towards you, but towards somebody else. And guys, he would love for your wife's desires to not be towards you, but towards somebody else. Or something else. He'd love to put a wedge between you and your spouse and split your home. Because that is the very bedrock of every society, is a happy, biblical home between a man and a woman for life. That is God's plan. Every strong country is based and founded on strong marriages between a man and a woman that stick together for life. And they raise their kids for God. we see the breaking down, the demoralization of our society because of broken homes today. 50% of even Christian couples divorce. Like, why isn't the Christians having more influence in our society? Well, that's why. It's because husband, this is, you want revival in our country, this is where it starts. Husbands and wives. So, Pastor, why are you preaching on this, you know, this stuff right here? Because it's so important. The greatest gift you can give your kids is loving your spouse. How I'm talking about right here. How I'm talking about right here. My kids see me tell my wife, "You're so beautiful." We kiss in front of them. They're like, "Ugh, ugh." I want them to know Dad loves her, and she loves me. And I'm like, "Man, I saw Dad loving on Mom and Dad loving on each other all the time. I think that's healthy. I think kids see too much of the moms and dads fighting with each other and bickering and separation and wondering, do they even like each other?" So what are we going to do about this? What do we do during these times? The Bible actually gives us the answer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Now I'm going to put it on the screen. You can turn there in your Bible, or you can look on the screen. I want you to see this, okay? So when you go through a time of physical health trial, of life pressure, out of control schedule, whatever it is, the Bible gives an answer to couples about this situation. It says, "Defraud ye not one the other." Now, let me just stop right there. Do you know what that means? That when you got married, okay, when you got married, ladies, your body was no longer yours, it's your husband's. And men, when you got married, your life and your body's no longer yours, it's hers now. By the way, the men, we got the better deal on this thing, I'm telling you right now. Don't defraud one another. You know what this means? When I'm talking about meeting each other's needs, knowing what her needs are, knowing what his needs are, the Bible says don't defraud in meeting those needs. If your wife needs a long walk down by the river to smell the flowers, don't defraud her that. If your wife needs to sit down and talk for a couple hours and just vent to you, don't defraud her. If your husband has a physical need, and you know what I mean, don't defraud him. Now, if you have to, this is what the Bible says. Except it be with consent. Notice the next three words. For a time. That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. I looked up the word. Incontinence is a really funny word. I actually saw it at Meijer. I was over at the protein bars, looking at the protein bars, and I look over, it says incontinence. I was like, what? That's in the Bible. And I walk over there, and I notice it was the section for all the depends. Because it means to lose control of yourself. That's what it means. I thought that was funny. Like, that was really funny. Okay, so anyway. Like, it means this, don't defraud. Why? Because you could cause your spouse to lose control of themselves. Be tempted to have those needs met outside the ring of marriage. Now listen, you say, well, yeah, there's no excuse for how he behaves, but you're not helping him either. There's no excuse for what she did. Well, you're not helping her either. Don't defraud each other. So what do we do? First of all, it says right here in the Bible, it says it must be with consent. It must be with consent. If you're going to defraud each other and meeting each other's needs, it has to be with consent. That means they have talked about it and agreed together that this is needful for a time. You've talked about it and agreed with each other, this is needful for a time. In other words, the wife maybe discusses her illness or discusses her needs with her husband, and he agrees to support her through this time. You guys with me? So you ladies, you have to sit down with your husband and say, look, I have this need, or I have this physical ailment, whatever it is, communicate that with him, and he agrees to support you during that time. But notice it says it twice in that verse that it's always for a time. There has to be a cutoff time. There has to be a point where it ends so you can come back together and then meet each other's needs. So it has to be with consent. Maybe the husband discusses his work schedule or temporary need to be absent. Hey, honey, listen. Listen, right now it's going to get busy. It's tax season. So for the next 3 months, I'm going to be at work for 14, 15 hours a day. But I'm telling you, it's just for a time. And then when we're done, I have a great vacation. I have a great retreat planned for us. I'm going to make up that time. You have to talk to your spouse about those things. It has to be an agreement with each other. I know I'm not going to meet your needs for the next 3 months. And the wife says, you know what? Thanks for talking to me about that. I'm going to ask the Lord to help me meet those needs. And when it's over, we're going to come back together and I'm excited for you meeting my needs. It has to be with consent. That's what it says. And then number two, it must be for a time, only for a time. Decide when it will end. Okay. Open-ended silence will kill your spouse. When's this going to end? I don't know. Decide on when it will end. Okay. It'd be like, Jamie, I want you to hold up this water bottle. Okay. Just hold it up in the air. Okay. Don't worry about it. Okay. Now you can put it down. Listen, would you be excited if I said, hey, I want you to hold that water bottle? And you said, well, how long? I said, I don't know. Would you be excited about that? What if I said, hold it up for 2 minutes? You'd be like, dude, I got this. It's easier when you know when it'll end. Like 2 minutes, oh, I can do that. It's almost a challenge now. It's like, oh, I can do that. Not a big deal. And when it ends, hold up your end of the bargain. If you're the one who has the physical ailment, you're the one who has the busy schedule, make sure when you say it'll end, it ends. You guys with me? Nothing will frustrate your wife or your husband when you say it'll end and you don't follow through on that. Okay? So make sure you come together and agree when this temporary silence from each other is going to end, and it's only for a time. And then number three, it must be filled with prayer and fasting. It must be filled with prayer. So husbands, listen, if your schedule gets filled up because it's busy season, you've communicated that with your wife and she agrees with you and say it's going to end at this time, you can also fill up that time with prayer and fasting. This can be a time to grow spiritually together. Ladies, if you have a physical ailment or whatever, a busy schedule, somebody passes, whatever it is, you communicate to your husband, he agrees with it, it's only for a time. Now use that time to pray together. Lord, give us strength and grow together. You'll be surprised how close you come together during that time, okay, when you're asking the Lord to help meet those needs in a unique way. It's an amazing, amazing time. And the prayer and fasting is going to help you keep your focus on the things of God. And then number four, it must end with coming together again. Now, notice that Paul mentioned the end of the separation in the passage twice. He mentions it twice. If you could pull up the verse again, I want to show this to you. Do you guys have that up there? All right. You know what? I have it right here in my notes. It says, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent. Then it says this, for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, okay, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Okay, so it must end with a coming together again. I'm going to end it with this. God wants the best for you. Decide tonight to fuel the fire in your marriage with passion, with adventure, and with creativity. And you will release the full potential in your mate, in your spouse, and release the full potential in your marriage. Decide tonight, I'm going to invest in fueling my spouse's fire and commit to my spouse.